This is Changing the Rules, a podcast about designing the life you want to live. Hosted by Casey Dempster and Ray Lowe, the luckiest guy in the world.
Good morning, everybody. This is Ray Lowe, the luckiest guy in the world, and we're giving Casey a little bit of a break here because she's got sinusitis or some evil thing. And that doesn't mean she's not going to talk later, but we're here from exciting Woodbury, New Jersey with our engineer, Taylor, keeping us straight and keeping us moving. And we have three guests today, and I'm just going to introduce them really quickly, and then we'll actually let them talk later, maybe. Okay. So we have Brian Matzinger, and Brian runs Newbridge Health. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. And Brian, just say hi.
Hi.
Okay. and we have Nicole Simonen. Did I get that close?
Close.
Simonen. Okay. And Nicole runs a place called ShapeItUpFitness.com, and she's got some really exciting stuff because she specializes in people over 40. And, you know, I passed that a long time ago.
Indeed, you did.
And we have Chris Parsons of Parsons PR. That's the plug, Chris.
That's the plug. Thank you very much.
And that's all you got. And Chris is sitting in here in the heckling row.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I want to start a little bit differently than we usually do because I want to talk about rules. All right. I increasingly get frustrated with rules, and I've been thinking about this an awful lot. You know, most of the rules that we've gotten in life have been made by others in order to control us. You get that feeling, Nicole, every once in a while, Brian?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you think about it, you know, our parents had rules. Now, they weren't bad rules. They were, you know.
Oftentimes, they were meant to keep you safe.
Yeah. Don't run with scissors.
Yeah.
You know, don't cross the street between parked cars.
Don't touch the oven.
Yeah. But and then the schools came in, and they gave us more rules. Okay. And then the church came in, and they gave us even more rules. And all of a sudden, we had all of these rules, excuse me, locking us into other people's lives. And I think one of the things that we have to recognize is that although some of these rules are good, all of them are restrictive. Every cotton-picking rule there ever is designed to restrict you from doing something. And so I think it's important, and this is kind of the theme of our show, is what are our rules? What are your rules? And how do you sort through all of those rules that we've been given throughout our lives and pick the ones that are really important for you? Because when you get your rules, it gives you freedom to be you. And I think this is one of the most critical things we want to talk about. We have two people here, actually three people, who own their own businesses. I think largely the reason that they do that is they wanted their own rules.
True.
And yeah, because we put up with all of this junk where other people try and tell us what to do. So the whole concept of changing the rules, you know, we used to start by breaking the rules, and I don't think that's good enough. You might break them first, but eventually you got to change them and adopt the rules that are going to run your life, because what we want you to be able to do is to live your life, the life that you designed for you. And that's where we're going with this whole podcast. So, Casey, you got any comments for the good of mankind that you want to make before we get into our show here?
Well, I would just say that as a survivor of 14 years in the Catholic school system, that is 2 years of college, so I didn't get left back. I am often a rule follower, much to Ray's chagrin. And I understand what Ray's point is, but a lot of times rules can be comforting to people because that's how they feel that they're in control. So, you know, I don't think we should give the impression that we're telling people to go out and break every rule there is. What we're saying is to find the rules that work for you, that aren't going to get you in jail, and if you need to tweak things, tweak them. But, you know,
Yeah, we do all need rules. I mean, rules give us structure, but the key here is they should be our rules, not somebody else's rules, just like living our lives, not somebody else's lives that somebody prescribes for us. And that's the whole purpose of this show, and it's the purpose of our Friends Connection Conference later. It's one of the reasons that we interview exciting people like we have today. And Taylor, you have permission to have a short break.
You're listening to Changing the Rules with Casey Dempster and Ray Lowe, the luckiest guy in the world. We will be right back with more exciting information.
Okay, we are right back. How's that? Did we do that okay?
Ray, you're a champ.
All right. Now, we're going to talk first to Brian Mansinger here. And there's a whole bunch of things I want to talk to Brian about. The first thing is he's an entrepreneur. Okay, so Brian, you worked for large companies.
Yep.
I think you got fed up with the rules.
That's correct.
And I think what you want to do now is you've broken them all. Okay.
Sure.
And you're an entrepreneur. So tell That's us right. about the business that you set up and what you're trying to do.
Sure.
And what's going on?
Yeah. So I have about 25 years in healthcare, technology, sales, and sales management. Sales was always a lucrative career, but it wasn't my passion. I'm really a nerd at heart, technologist at heart. And I found as the more success I got in sales and sales management, the less I was focused on what I really enjoy, which is technology. And so I decided a few years ago to kind of change the rules, as you say, and go out on my own and work with healthcare technology companies that are startups that may not have the experience or the personnel or the financial resources to hire a chief revenue officer or a sales management or even a sales team, and consult with them and help them do the things that kind of come naturally to me but are very beneficial to them. But at the same time, I get to learn new technologies and kind of get my hands dirty in that sense of it as well.
And you found out that changing the rules isn't as easy as you hoped it might be.
No.
Right?
Okay. There's definitely some challenges.
Yeah, but the other side of it is I think you do have freedom, and I notice a big difference when I talk to you these days. Mm-hmm. Is you used to whine a lot about your bosses and stuff like that, okay? And I
hope they're not listening.
Well, it doesn't matter.
That's true.
Doesn't matter anymore. So I think the whole idea here is that breaking the rules, changing the rules gives you freedom to do what you want. Freedom isn't easy, but it's moving, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there's challenging days and some very good days, but yeah, I'm the one that makes the rules. So
cool. And there are two other things, a couple of other things that you're doing. And Nicola, you can put your two cents in on this.
Okay.
In a couple of minutes, but Brian has achieved an unbelievable amount of fame in the Disney world.
not quite.
So,
well, he's a hero to me.
So as I remember right, you know, one day you decided for whatever reason, I can't fathom why anybody would do this, but you were going to run a marathon.
Correct. Yep.
And you ran it down in Orlando.
Yep. So in, I hadn't, as a youngster, I wasn't really involved too much in sports. And then I got really involved in sports in college and continued that after college for about 15 years and then got injured and got pretty lazy and didn't do much and kind of missed that motivation of the competitiveness and so forth. So I had run a triathlon, a sprint triathlon, and realized I hate swimming and I hate biking. And so I guess I'll just keep running like Forrest Gump. So I decided that day I was going to run a marathon. So I had, at the time, my son was, I think, 4. And my stepson was probably 11. And so I figured, well, if I'm going to be committing all this time and effort, I might as well do it someplace where they can enjoy. So I chose, I'll run the Disney Marathon. So I did that in 2011.
Cool. And then what happens when you run the Disney Maryland? You get a medal, right?
You get a medal. And at the time when you get a medal, you could get into the park for free the next day.
But you got to wear your medal.
And of course, we had these passes that got us in anyway. So it was going to the DMV trying to figure out, you know, how we were going to get into the park. And so I had my medal, which I guess had Mickey on it. And I was kind of embarrassed because I'm walking around wearing a medal the next day after a race. And my wife says, well, look, they have medals over there too, but they had a different medal. They had the goofy medal, which was when you run the half marathon and the full marathon back to back. I was just happy to be walking and alive, to be honest. And I said, oh, but they have a different medal. She goes, oh, there's no shame in that. And she kind of. So, of course, being the competitive guy I am, I said, okay, next year I'm doing that then. So the next year I ran the goofy, and I did the half marathon and the full marathon the next year.
And then they added another medal.
Right, and actually did the 5K that year as well. And then the next year we had friends wanted to do it, so I did it again. And then they had this official dopey. This is the history of
Disney
running.
Goofy dopey.
Yeah,
right,
the dopey medal.
Which was the 5K, 10K, half, and full marathon in four days in a row. And so we spent a small fortune to go down there for a week and do all four of those races.
You know, I find it interesting the way they're characterizing that you're really dopey to do all four. You're goofy to do the two whatever.
Yep.
I mean, really.
Yep. Yeah, now, Nicole, I understand you have a medal from Disney, too, right?
I do. My sister, actually, she's older than me, and she was like, do you want to do a Disney race? And I'm not really a runner. And I was like, sure, it's Disney. Like, we're big Disney people. And so we did the princess race, and it was very interesting. I had a foot injury at the time, but I was like, I'm doing the race anyway. And we did the 10K. And like I had said earlier, we finished the 10K, and she had a little trouble. But I was like, I could totally have done. I could go for another couple miles.
So this
now,
is how
did you
Disney
have to wear
makes
a gown?
Money.
We did wear, so my background, I came from a professional ballet dancer, so we wore tutus, so I made my own tutu, and I had one color pink, one color blue, and it was Princess Aurora, and I had tie-dyed a shirt that was, and it said pink or blue.
Nice.
So it was themed as Princess Aurora, which is my daughter's favorite princess, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like, I have no problem dressing up. I don't know if you dressed up.
I did not.
I don't think he wore a tutu.
No tutu for you.
My family had, I think, team at your church or something like that. Other than that, there was not much more.
Okay, so this fostered your business later? Or was your business going before this?
Oh, no, I started in 2006.
Okay.
So I've been around for a while. My business has kind of evolved over the years. Do you want me to get into the whole?
Well, start. Go.
Okay, so I was a physical therapist assistant, and I got pregnant. I was married and was going to have my first baby, and I was like, I'm coming back, no problem. I was running a gym and PT. And I had my son, and I was like, yeah, I'm not coming back. I'm sorry. It's like, I just couldn't give my son to somebody else to raise him. And no judgment on anybody else who has done that, but it was, for me, it was a personal decision. So I was sitting at home, and I'm telling my husband, I'm like, if I sing Sesame Street or ABC song one more time, I'm going to shoot myself. Like, it was, just mind-numbingly boring. So I decided, I was like, I'm a personal trainer. I can do that. Ironically, I started off doing online training. And again, in 2006, the technology was not anything like it was or is now. So it was very cumbersome and laborsome to work with people online. So I started Mommy and Me boot camps right after my second child, which is my daughter. And I did that for many years. And then I was looking at them and I was like, I get so much better results with private training. So then we switched gears. And when I turned 40, I was like, yeah, there's no information for anybody over 40, especially women. Like, if you Google 40, you'll get a lot of men information about fitness, but there's not a lot of women out there that, are an example of what is possible for a lady over 40. And I have many clients who, in their late 50s, 60s, who have lost, 40 pounds, 85 pounds, 90 pounds, and they're a whole different person,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can do that for me? You can whip 40 pounds off of that body?
I can give you the tools, whether you decide if that's your rules that you want to follow.
But I'm not going
to
wear a tutu.
You don't have to wear a tutu.
At Disneyland.
No.
Okay. Okay. We're going to come back. We're going to let you talk more about this empire that you're building.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sounds good.
But I want to get Brian to talk about one thing. It has nothing to do with his business, nothing to do with running, but it's really fascinating to me. So your mom and dad decided a while ago to put together kind of like a mini trust fund that we were going to use to give away money.
Yep.
So talk to me a little bit about what happened, the evolution, and this thing called Next Door?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny when you're growing up, you don't realize what the values are that your parents are instilling in you until you get old and you look back and say, oh yeah, I guess that is, you know, some things that were important to them. And so we were growing up, there were a number of things that were important. One was financial stability, education was really important, charitable giving, just the value of family.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that were instilled in us. And then as we got older, and my parents were kind of at the point where they were both close to retirement and wanted to do something special for the family, rather than saying, well, we'll have, you know, inheritance we can give to the kids and not see them enjoy it and not really know what's going to happen to it. Let's do something as a family. So they created a foundation called The Next Door. To your point, it's a trust that basically we give away money to people who need it in our local communities.
Nice.
Kind of like The Neighbor Next Door, I think, is where that, that was the title.
Correct.
That.
And so what's great is it's, you know, we're not giving away millions of dollars. It's not, you know, that large of a trust, but it's enough that it makes a difference for a lot of people throughout the year. I think a lot of people who are in need kind of get lost. Like, they might get food from the food pantry, or they're going through some major procedure and they're doing a GoFundMe for $50,000. But there's this kind of market, if you will, almost in the middle, where there's people who just need, you know, they need to pay their electrical bill, or you know, they're gonna if they don't get the car fixed, they won't be able to go to work and so forth. So yes, that's what we do, and it's great because it does still. It brings the family together. So on Christmas time, I go shopping with my family, my immediate family. I live about 2 hours away, so immediate family, and go buy toys for the local families and so forth. So it's definitely not only taught us about giving and financial independence, but you know, bringing the family together.
Yeah, and you extend this way beyond the adults in the group.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. So let's talk about that a little bit, because I think that makes it unique in itself.
Absolutely. Yep. So originally it was my I have a brother and a sister, so it was my parents and then my brother and sister. Kind of the five of us were doing it, but now, as you mentioned, we kind of bring in the grandkids as well. So there's some things they've done. We've sent soccer balls over to, I forget where it was now.
Iraq, I think.
Oh, nice.
For people who needed it and so forth. So we find these little projects, and again, it doesn't take a whole lot of money. It's just a little bit, mm-hmm. but it makes all the difference. So
I remember one story, I think, where one of your nephews told his mom that there was a classmate who wasn't eating lunch, and it was because the family couldn't afford the lunch program. And so they anonymously paid for the lunch program for that family. You know, I think they were living in a motel or something.
Right.
I mean,
yep.
It was really, so this is really how the values are being passed on to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And
That's
they're
great.
Seeing it in action.
Correct, yep.
Yeah, now we're going to bring Brian to our Friends Connection. Okay, so if you want to meet him later, you have this opportunity to do this.
And to meet Dopey and Goofy.
Well, you're going to wear your medals?
We want to see the medals.
But I also think that, you know, one of the things that people start thinking about is what's the legacy that they're going to leave to their family, to their community, et cetera. And, you know, we all hear about the charitable kinds of things, you know, give to the United Way, give to the Australian Fire. They're all important things.
Right.
Okay, but I think the thing that's unique here is that you're able to have such an impact on your direct community with relatively small amounts of money. I mean, you're not talking about giving away hundreds of thousands of dollars here. I heard another story that was it your kids that had a babysitter once upon a time and she wanted to go to college? Or am I making this up?
No, that was... It wasn't my kid's babysitter. I think it was might have been my sister's.
I thought it was one of your mom's former students.
It could have been. I honestly don't remember the.
But the issue was, here was a woman who forced her way to go to college, where it was an impossible task to begin with. And how did you guys help out?
So, if I remember correctly, there was we've had a couple of similar scenarios, but in some cases it's just, you know, you need books, you need, you know, just the deposit to get into the school. We had one, there was one person who was getting cancer treatment up at Memorial Sloan Kettering, and they couldn't get the train there. You know, they had everything set, but they just couldn't get train rides up there. So, so it's just little things like that that were helping people.
Now, how do you find these things out?
Well, that's, I was going to comment. That's what's really interesting is you don't, I don't think you really, day to day, you're not looking for these things in your neighborhood necessarily. You kind of wait for them to come to you. You know, you see the GoFundMe pages, or you hear the United Way, or there's a blood drive or something like that. That's normally how we're informed of these things. But when you're in the position to be able to give back, you find them yourselves. You almost start looking for them in a weird way. So I'll be at a party with my wife and someone will mention something and you can see our ears kind of perk up, like, oh, here's an opportunity. We need to ask some questions and find out what's happening. And almost every time we find somebody who's in need, it's not necessarily public or publicized, and therefore you don't find it unless you're kind of almost looking for it.
Well, and that actually was how you sort of started the Friends Connection, right? It was really all about connecting, networking people. You know, we're in an age of social media that the connections are a little different. That was part of how you started Friends Connection.
And
right?
You know, people are doing really interesting things out there, and they're doing things that are meaningful. They don't get publicity. You don't necessarily get tax write-offs when you do a lot of this stuff.
Right.
But you have a significant value to the community. You have a significant value to the family. Everybody feels good about it. You know, you bring this younger kids into the picture, and they contribute.
Absolutely.
And
they start to get it. You know, they start to get it.
It's just a really, really cool thing. So, Taylor, can we do another normal break here? We're not doing the Friends Connection yet. And then Casey's going to come back, and we're going to talk to Nicole a little bit about what she's doing, where Brian is taking care of our psychic values. Nicole is going to keep us fit enough that we can actually do these things.
You're listening to Changing the Rules with Casey Dempster and Ray Lowe, the luckiest guy in the world. We will be right back with more exciting information.
This whole thing. Welcome back, everybody. We want to talk a lot with Nicole, or I want to talk a lot with Nicole, because Fitness Beyond 40 is something that I think is more important to us than we realize. Many of us are very active when we're young, and then life starts to get in the way, like it did with you, Brian, where, you know, you're working, you're a full-time mom, full-time job, you know, you're being pulled in a million different directions, and there's just not enough hours in the day to take care of yourself. And for a period of time in my life, did become a fitness person where I was teaching aerobic classes back when it was dancey. And I was imagining myself on stage.
With a tutu?
No, I didn't wear a tutu, but I did watch myself in the windows.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, all that aside. So I had never been an active person before that. And so that kind of started to build an activity level in me. But when I got into my 40s, I started to realize how I was a little bit tired, and I was like, if I did get a little achy, it wasn't going away as fast as it used to, but I kept saying to myself, as much as I didn't want to admit this to my ex-husband, who was not my ex at the time, who had always, exercise was his answer for everything. And so I never wanted to let him know that I really had acknowledged to myself that I did feel better. Anyway, I would go through periods where I wouldn't be exercising because of what was going on in my life. And I'd say, but you know what? I know I'm going to come back to it. So, you know, I'm not going to freak myself out about this. I know I'm going to come back to it. But I think a lot of people don't recognize that. So is that part of, I know that just the exercise is part of it, but we have to work on our heads.
Yeah. Like, I feel like there's like a trifecta that needs to come into place, and it's fitness, it's nutrition, and it's your mindset. And I feel like where you are and where you want to go, there's a big gap in between there. And we know we have to eat healthy. We know we have to move more. Now that's like the basics, but why don't you do it? You know, and that's where the mindset comes in. And I know I just gave my clients a challenge to do for 30 days, and it's based on food, but everybody's freaking out because I'm asking them to kind of change the rules. And they are like, it's interesting because there's a certain group of my clients who are like freaking out because they feel like I've like basically asked them to cut their arm off, or there are people that are like, I got this. Do you know what I mean? So, like, there's complex layers into each individual. So, that's what I love about my job is there's like everybody's so different and there's so many onions and layers to everybody and what's going on, not necessarily in their past, but like how they look at food, how they approach exercise. Like you had said, you know, at the time there was not enough time to fit in exercise. If you had met me then, I would have been like, there's time to fit in exercise.
Well,
you know?
I fit it in by becoming an instructor.
Well, there you go.
Forced me to do it.
Yeah, so you fit it in.
It was an appointment.
Right. Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I always like to tell everybody, you know, this is an appointment that you have with someone who's very important and it's you. You're the one that's important. And I like I know I have a new client that just started. I'm like, we're going to do 5 minutes a day. That's it. You know, and that's just to kind of build a habit. It's to change your neural pathways to make it more enjoyable, too, because if I told you 5 minutes, you're like, yeah, I can do 5 minutes. And usually they do more than that.
Yeah.
Once they get started.
Yeah.
I have a question. I've got two questions for you. So somewhere earlier you mentioned ballet and somewhere earlier you mentioned working in a PT office.
Right.
So let's start with ballet. I mean, what started this and how much does this impact into what you do now?
It's interesting. I feel like when I look back on my life, I can see where all the pieces kind of fell into place. But, you know, obviously, as you're growing up, you have no clue, like, what's going to happen later on. I started ballet when I was 4. My sister, again, she's older than me. She used to go to ballet every Saturday. And I was like, Mom, where is she going? And she was like, she's going to ballet. And I was like, well, I want to do that, too. Hated it the first year. Wanted to quit. She's like, you have to finish. You committed. You're in it for a year. After the year was done, I loved it. At 13, I said, I want to be a professional ballet dancer. And I did. I went to school I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts. I danced in, you know, regional companies. And I was actually dancing at Pennsylvania Ballet, and I was hurt my foot, and I was driving home in a snowstorm. And I was like, you know what? I was in my late 20s, and I was like, you need to find something that doesn't really rely on your body so much. And I'd always been interested in sports medicine. Through my ballet career, we had worked with a chiropractor who was very holistic and like really sparked my interest in medical terminology and all this. And then I was like, I'm going to go try physical therapy. And I went to school. I graduated top of my class, 4.0. I was class president.
Yeah. Did you get a Disney medal?
No, I didn't get a Disney medal.
She got a Daffy medal.
Yeah. I loved it. And it just kind of, like, all those pieces kind of fall together because, you know, I love teaching. When I taught ballet, I love the way the body worked and how I could push people to do certain things that they were like, wow, I didn't think I could do that. Same thing with physical therapy. I loved working with patients and, you know, I mean, a lot of people are rehabbing, obviously, and it's taking them from, you know, I can't open a water bottle to now you can. And you were saying, too, as you age, you know, it's important that you keep your function alive because, you know, people are living to over 100 now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Most people. So, I mean, I don't know about you, but I want to be able to open my cans of soup or whatever I'm eating at that time by myself. I don't want somebody to be like, you know, I need assistance, somebody to call them.
I need to tell my story again. You guys have heard this too many times, but I don't care.
I love the story.
So,
I love the penguin.
So I'm a swimmer. I cheat. We'll get into that later. But the whole idea, I was at the National Senior Games a couple of years ago, and after I did my swimming thing, I'm wandering around, and I meet this guy, an old geezer. Okay.
Like you.
Like me. And he's wearing 5 medals around him. Okay. And one of them is silver. The rest of them are gold. And I found out later that he won them in the 100 to 104 age group.
Wow.
And age 103, okay, his medals were in the shot put, the discus, the hammer throw. You know, I can't even lift these things. You know? I'm figuring out how to do this thing. And he lost one crummy event to a 101-year-old, okay? So there's more people in this.
Yeah, really.
So yeah, I think, you know, 40 is if you quit at 40, how are you ever going to be able to walk and do these things? And I know as you walk into a nursing home today, you see people sitting out in the corridors in wheelchairs, and then we have this guy who's winning medals.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And where do we want to be? And I'm going to suggest strongly that in your business, you hire Brian to be your poster child as we go. Now, tell us a little bit about this remote function, because you're doing a lot of this stuff online now, too.
Yeah. So I do have clients that come to me in the morning. I actually have a studio in my house, so I'm a little selective as to who comes in. Mm-hmm. Obviously, my family lives there. But like I had said earlier, I started online, and I had come back to it because I was like, the technology is so much more advanced nowadays. So I have an app that people can use. We do a lot of video chats where that's like the personal aspect. So each week we do video chats where I can connect with them. A lot of those are more about like the mindset aspect because I'm asking questions and probing them as to what's going on. But even with the app, like when they complete a workout, I get a notification that they did it. I can design the workouts. It's all customized. They can click on videos to see how to do the workouts. If they're struggling with their form, I have them take a video and send it to me. So, I mean, it's other than the fact that, like, you and I are sitting next to each other, we can still do that virtually through the technology that we have. And mm-hmm. I really think it's just amazing, you know, that, like, I can train people in Alabama. I can train people across the country.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was concerned when we first spoke about form, because again, mm-hmm. having been certified at one point, I'm aware of how important it is to be in the correct form, or you can really hurt yourself.
Right.
And I've watched like TV exercise people, and they're, you know, having them, people are bouncing all over the place. And I think to myself, you know, if somebody who's not really exercised much is doing this on their TV, they're watching their TV, they could end up really injured.
Yeah. Like I find this is one of my things that it just irritates me is like you'll see these challenges out on Instagram or whatever, and it's like, you know, crazy stuff like do squats on a physio ball. Why do you need to do a squat on a physio ball?
Right.
Or like, and this is nothing as power lifters because I feel like they have their place, but like if you're 40 and you have shoulder injuries, you should not be doing a squat where you're lifting a bar behind your head. It puts the shoulder joint in a bad position. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of those extreme type workouts, especially for women or men over 40, I just think you got to build up to that. If that's something that you want to do, that's fine. But like you don't need to get in shape by beating the crap out of your body. Like mm-hmm. there are other ways to do it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we should take another break, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit about the Friends Connection, where we have our two stars are going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll let Chris get a couple words in, too, when we come back.
This is Changing the Rules. Stay tuned to learn more about the Friends Connection and how you can be a part of this valuable life experience.
Okay, we're back. So the Friends Connection Conference is going to be on April 17th. In Old City, Philadelphia, at a Marriott that is being redone and revamped just for us, by the way. Okay, and this is where you meet people like Brian, who will be there, and like Nicole, who will be there.
Yes.
And learn a little bit about the motivation behind things, what they're doing, and stuff like that. And Chris, I haven't given you a chance to speak yet, so this is your moment of fame.
Sure, great. Well, no, I really wanted to say two things. Brian, I love your Nextdoor company. I just think that's really good and appropriate now. I mean, I really think we're at a time where people want to reach out to all these things that are happening, but doing it on a local level, I think, is probably very rewarding, and you can see the results probably quicker.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited to hear what you have to say at the Friends Connection. And Nicole, I'm actually, I'm not just a customer, I'm a client. I have a client of Nicole's, and I have to say, I find it really fascinating because, you know, there's tons of things out there of exercise things and, you know, things you can buy and eat and whatnot. But she really does focus on the mindfulness. And I find it fascinating what I'm learning about myself. She talked about the onions and peeling back. A lot of the rules and the habits that we do are ingrained since we were little. You know, I had a grandmother that said, clean your plate for a clear day tomorrow.
Right.
So, you know, I thought I was personally responsible for the weather, you know, and I do find that. I find that when I'm out and I'm eating and I'm full, I look at the plate and I'm like, oh my gosh, my German grandmother is going to be upset if I don't clean everything off the plate. So I think this mindfulness is something she's really on because, you know, you're going to fail at many of these diets. These New Year's resolutions just don't work because your mind is telling you to go another way. You know, you're used to that rule. You keep going back to that rule. So changing the rules, and it's true. Once you sit back and go, well, wait a minute, I don't have to do it that way. It does become easier. And yeah, I'm not loving this. This food thing. But I could be one of her ones that's the challenge. Like, what? I'm not doing that because that is also the control. We talk about controlling our destiny, and if we're all in our own businesses, control has something to do with that. Mm-hmm. So that you are giving up some control, but you're also relieving some restrictions that you didn't have before. So I really think she's onto something with the whole working on the mind, and a lot of her exercises or things that she tells you, she knows what she's doing underneath it, but you don't. Yeah. And then it becomes an aha moment, which is really lovely. So I'm excited to see what she's going to do at the Friends Connection, too. I think get us all in better shape, maybe.
Yeah, we may have a work on in the middle of the session.
There you go. Good. There you go. Bring your sneakers.
Anyway, Brian, a question to you in this regard here. When you decided to run your marathon or run the Goofy Medal or whatever these things, you know, how did that influence your preparation for it? Did that motivate you to do stuff?
Yeah, so I just know how I operate. I'm very task oriented, and so I don't think I've done about 12 marathons and a bunch of half marathons over the past 8 or 9 years, and I don't think ever once I just got up in the morning and said I think I want to go for a run. Like, I have to have it. To your point, Casey, I have to have it not necessarily scheduled, but I have to know that I've got to run this many miles this week, you know, in these many days and so forth. And so it kind of taught me to kind of put work aside, put other things aside, and just make time. To your point, right? Make time for this is for me. I'm gonna go run. This is what I want to do. And so it was less about the thought of, oh my gosh, I'm running another marathon or running the Dopey, but more of like, no, today I'm running 6 miles or today I'm running 9 miles. And that was my goal. And so every day I'd have a goal and I was able to reach that.
Okay. So the task allowed you to get motivated to do things. You didn't find other excuses not to do that.
I never looked at it like until the night before and I couldn't sleep, but the first one, but I never looked at it as, oh my gosh, I'm doing something that I never thought I'd be able to do. It was more of every day I'm doing something that maybe I didn't do the day before. I remember actually I didn't really sign up for it until I ran 9 miles. Cause I was like, I'm not sure I'll be able to do this.
Yeah.
I needed proof. So once I did that, you know, it was those sort of goals, I guess.
Well, I have to tell you that I absolutely hate to work out. There is nothing worse than this as far as I'm concerned. But the way to get around it is by having a goal and mouthing off on it. So I will tell you right now that in my 80th year, which is coming up in 2.5 years, I will win a national championship somewhere in swimming.
Woohoo!
Okay. And now that I've committed to that, I'm going to do the work that has to be done. So it's the mindset. It's everything.
Right.
Yeah. I think, though, what people are missing is if you're not, certain people are very driven by goals. Like, I'm definitely a goal-oriented person. But the thing is that as humans, we just crave comfort and we crave pleasure. And we're
nothing wrong with that.
I know. But the problem is that if you, like I believe that we should become a better version of yourself each day. And if you're just being comfortable, you're just kind of skating through life. So, like, how do you want to exit this world? What mark do you want to leave here? And I think, like, because you had such a big goal with the run, you know, you were motivated to get up. But if, say, you didn't sign up for that and you waited till the last minute, you'd be like, yeah, no, it's cold, it's wet. I don't want to, no. And I don't even know if you were running outside or, I know I did all mine on the treadmill. Because I don't.
Did mine as well.
But yeah, so I feel like, and like Chris was saying, you know, you have to be able to see what you're thinking and what, like, why you do the things that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's a lot of problem. People spin because they don't, they like, well, I want to lose weight, but yet I want to eat this cake. And, you know, you got to have that mindset right. And
it's
and
carrot cake. It's okay.
Carrot cake is okay.
Well, yes, it's health food. It's got vegetables, eggs, flour,
and milk.
All right. We're coming near the end of our session here. Brian, do you have any words of wisdom to leave with anybody?
No. I mean, I thought this was really interesting. Great conversation, as always. And I appreciate it.
And we'll post your website on our lead into this thing so that people can get into it for two reasons, to find out about Nextdoor, but also if they want you to run their new healthcare business for them, they can find you. And Nicole.
Yes, sir.
Any final comments?
No, I just feel like if you're really struggling and you've been like yo-yo dieting for most of your life, you know, it's really time to end that nonsense and the madness, because it really consumes your, I was talking to a client this morning about the challenge, and they were like, you know, I went into a CVS and there was chocolate everywhere. And I was like, you don't have to eat it. Like, it's just there.
Although it is Valentine's Day.
Yeah. But yeah, I would just say there is a way to get off the yo-yo hamster wheel. It is possible to lose weight over 40. If you feel like you need to go out to pasture after 40, you're absolutely wrong. It just, you know, it depends on your mindset and how you want to approach your life.
Cool. And Casey, you can wind up for us today.
I'm hungry.
Chocolate.
No. I think this has been great fun. I think that there has been so much valuable thought and philosophy shared here today. I've been aware of the Nextdoor Foundation, if you will, from the outset, and I love the idea of doing something small and personal and direct, where you can actually see the benefit of what you've done. Not necessarily to pat yourself on the back, but just, you know, you just sometimes it's easy to write a check, but it's you don't get that same warm feeling about it. And fitness and health has always been an issue for me. Just to touch back on how important the mindset is, we don't even know what messages we were given as children. And like you're one with your grandmother,
right.
But even just like some parents use food as a reward.
Yeah.
And
right.
I don't think they understand what danger there is in that. And so I think that this has been really helpful. And I feel like we could have gone for 3 hours.
Probably.
Well, yeah, we could have, but we aren't. And we won't. Okay. So anyway, come to our Friends Connection conference April 17th. Did I get that right again?
Yes, and we'll have something on the website.
Yeah,
right?
and we're going to continue this conversation. And join us in 2 weeks. We're going to have two more guests, and they're going to be related to our Friends Connection event, too. Right. And you're going to find the conversation is lively and interesting and motivating. And Nicole and Brian, thank you so much for being here. Chris, as always, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Changing the Rules, a podcast designed to help you live your life the way you want and give you what you need to make it happen. Join us in 2 weeks for our next exciting topic on Changing the Rules with Casey Dempster and Ray Lowe, the luckiest guy in the world.